So over the last few months of our all-age services, we've been looking at the Beatitudes. And they're perhaps best described as a set of sayings Jesus taught to his disciples that describe Jesus himself and the people who follow him. So all too often we can fall into the trap of thinking that once we trust in our rescuer Jesus, then that's that. It's all over. Our ticket to the heavenly party is booked, and we simply need to live out our earthly lives as comfortably and as peaceably, perhaps, as we can, safe in the knowledge that our future is assured. And that's sort of true and sort of very not. Because it's not as simple as that, is it? Because Jesus taught has brought us to be in relationship with him. It's not just like a you're forgiven and off you go thing. It's a relationship. And that relationship does have the responsibility to live our lives in a way that pleases him, in a way that he would ask us to live for him. If we're in a relationship with one another, with friends and family, there are certain responsibilities, aren't there? You want to live in a certain particular way to please that person. It's the same with Jesus in that sense. And the good news is that we are so excited that prospects are living out our new lives found only in him, that we would want to live this way. We would want to live his way and not our own. So when we seek to put the Beatitudes, these sayings we've been in those last few months, into practice, to live them out day by day, people will then see that we are part of God's family. It's like evidence, if you like. This is what we're doing. We're living differently. People can see that we love one another. And we're trying to live in community and love with one another. Special thing. Beatitudes are really important. Other things are as well. Which brings us on to today. Blessed are the peacemakers, we heard earlier, for they will be called children of God. Peacemaker. Peacemaker is a bit of a strange word, and actually if you type it in as one word, it doesn't like it. It either hyphenates it or puts a gap in. It's a strange word from an English perspective. But can anyone tell me what peacemaker means? How would you define it? How would you describe it? What might it mean? It's good to know you're all with it this morning. How does it... peacemaker. Pam's signalling to me at the back. Negotiator. Yes, a negotiator. Absolutely right. Yes, good one. I like that. Other things. Come on. I'm not here from afar. I will walk amongst you.
Listener,
thank you. Yes, thank you.
Someone who tries to calm things down.
Yeah, very good.
What? Resolve
try to resolve things. Yeah, very good. Excellent. Yeah, absolutely right. All these things are right. And all these things, aspects of being a peacemaker, isn't it? What else have we got? What does it mean to be a peacemaker? Or what is a peacemaker? Communication was?
The right things.
Yes, absolutely right. Yeah. Communication, the right things. So the ghost said, listen, that gig on.
Somebody keeps the peace between two parties.
Yeah, absolutely. Someone tries to keep the peace between two parties. Absolutely right. So two warring parties. Excellent. All this is good and all this is right. And all this helps me going forward. This is good news. So yes, absolutely. Real peace comes when we put others first. So all the things you've talked about listening and negotiating and acting as a peace between people, and all those things are right and aspects of what I've just said. But they can only happen if we have peace with God first. So that song we sung last, I love the song anyway, but the reason for singing that particular version, other than it's a live version, it's helpful, was to say, because that extra little bit we started singing, what does it say? It is, our life, our peace, your cross, O Lord. It's about relationship. It's about peace with God and peace with one another Only through the cross is that achieved. And only through our Lord Jesus on the cross is that achieved. So, for example, a peacemaker shows love when someone hurts them. They use loving words, don't they? I forgive you, instead I'll get you back. When someone treats them badly. Or they keep their mouth closed and don't say something nasty about someone, even though they might really, really want to. And if someone hits you, you don't hit back. As peacemakers on a sort of perhaps bigger scale, we don't deliberately make war on one another. There are issues I'm not going to go into the just war stuff, but that's the principle we need to follow. We are to seek peace, and not just seek peace, we are to bless people in that action. Being a peacemaker is putting others before yourself and wanting what's best for others, to act in their interests, if you like. So, let's think about what happens when we aren't peacemakers. I want you to imagine the scene. You're at a party. It's a great party, and there's been lots of cake, and this happens. Oh, I was meant to bring a table out. Let's use this. I know, we'll use that, actually, that's better. So this happens. Got a table. Good. And I need some partygoers, by the way. Would you like to be a partygoer? I don't need many partygoers, but more than one is what I do need. Adults can come too. Ah, excellent. Come. This is the best party you'll ever be at, this side of heaven, obviously. Excellent, good. Yeah, right. Now. Yeah, I know, that's good. That's fine, I don't mind. It's just that's what we do. Right. Go away, fly. Thank you. Right, we get. Now, this has been a great party. A really good party. Lots of sausage rolls. Thank you, Pam. Lots of cake. Lots of all sorts of other things. Now, there is one piece of cake left. Now, there are lots of different ways you can treat that cake. I want you to think selfish mode. There you go. Well done. That's all there is to it. That's the illustration. No, exactly. Explain what you just did again.
I pinched it before anyone else.
Yeah, and you tried as well, didn't you? Yeah. So you both tried to get the cake. That is being selfish. That's fair. I don't know about you. It's possible I've been at a party where that may have happened. Couldn't possibly comment. So a piece of cake there. So that's what stay there. Two people, one cake. Our selfish nature takes over, and we simply grab it for ourselves, don't we? That's what's going on. In the meantime, just imagine for a moment, if you get the cake, how do you feel?
Pretty annoyed that I've not got any cake.
Very good. Absolutely. Yeah. You either sulk, or you're annoyed, or you just want to get sort of grab the cake back. You're cross. And that's not making peace, is it? That's causing division. That's not a nice thing to do. When we only think about what's good for me, it separates us from others and makes us sad or cross. Okay, now imagine for a moment we're not going to be like that. There's one piece of cake left, two people, how do you act when you're not being selfish? Very good.
And then I'll split it in half.
Yeah, exactly. So you put it back. Let me just show you the other thing that you could do. That's absolutely right, because you get one of these, don't you? And you do exactly that. Either you offer and you share and you say, or you do that and you cut it in half.
Which one's bigger?
Yeah, I know. I have tried so hard. You can have that one. And you can have that one. And there's plenty of this more over in the hall afterwards. So whilst this is not, particularly generous, I have to say, there is more cake that you can have some. Thank you very much. Go back to your seat. Take the cake with you. We have two people, one cake, one knife, two bits. Those two people might want the same cake. They might want, desperately want to have it all to themselves. You know, that's understandable. But if someone just simply cuts it in half or shares it, both are happy. Both haven't got everything they want, because actually what you really want is the whole cake. But you've got a good, you got a mouthful, a couple of mouthfuls or something. You cut it in half or give it to the other person. That's the instinct. Sharing the cake means they enjoy it together. So at the end of this party, which has been the best party you've ever been to, doesn't end on a sour note, it ends on a positive note. You're going, oh yeah, isn't that lovely? We shared at the end of that party, had a great time, danced a lot and all the rest of it, and we shared the cake. The peacemaker thought, what's not, he didn't think about what's good for me, he thought about what's good for us. Sometimes we need to help one another when to make peace, don't we? Like when two friends are arguing, we can help them out perhaps and say, you know, what's good for all of us here? That negotiation thing that was mentioned. Sometimes being a peacemaker means that speaking up for someone on someone's behalf. So someone being bullied at school or elsewhere, or someone struggling with something, you can speak up on their behalf because you've got a, you know, you're able to do that. You're not thinking about what's good for me, it's what's good for them. We can encourage others to be kind and helpful and nice. That's bringing peace to the situation, isn't it? But, like the Beatitudes, and as we saw with the cake, that instinct doesn't come naturally. Our natural instinct, instincts were right. You want to grab the cake, don't you? Don't get me wrong, we can share it and so on and so forth, but actually we like the whole lot for ourselves. That's not being a peacemaker, is it? And it doesn't come naturally. Our instinct is just to grab the plate, as Richard showed us very, very well earlier. We need God's help, don't we? James wrote this in his letter. He says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire what but you do not have, so you kill. It's an extreme version, I admit. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. We're all sinners. We're all sinful. And sometimes we want to argue back or to fight or to get our own way. We need God's help to choose to be our peacemaker who puts others first and shows love to them. Because that's the way that Jesus lived, isn't it? He chose to be a peacemaker. What do we call him over Christmas? The Prince of Peace. After he was resurrected, he greeted his disciples by saying, peace be with you. Jesus died on the cross for our sin. He was being the ultimate peacemaker. The Prince of Peace, who became the peacemaker. And when Jesus died on that cross, he made peace between us and God himself. Because we were sort of at war, really. Therefore, Paul was able to write this about Jesus in his letter to the Colossians. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself, have peace with himself, all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Jesus is the ultimate peacemaker. And when we are peacemakers, when we act like peacemakers, we show others a bit of Jesus, don't we? We try and reflect his character, if you like. So, for example, next time you're arguing with a brother or sister or whatever it might be, whoever it might be, remember how God has made peace between us and God. And you'll do what's good for both of you, not just for yourself. Next time when your friends at school are arguing, for example, you're at school, remember you're called to be a peacemaker. You can help us see what's good for both of them, not just one. That reconciliation, bringing together people. But I want us to know what, notice a promise that God, Jesus gives us in that verse we heard earlier from Mercy. I want us to notice what happens when we act like peacemakers. Jesus promises us that peacemakers will be called the children of God. It's an amazing verse. All too often we talk about being friends with God, and that's a good thing, that's not a bad thing. But Jesus is telling we're not just good God's friends, we're his family. So think of that moment, what we say at the beginning of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven. In other words, God is our Heavenly Father. It's astonishing. It's a great blessing to have peace with God and bring peace to others. It's a great, great thing. Because we can call God our Father because of it. As we have peace with God, let's seek to have peace with one another, with the way we speak to one another, lovingly, gently, seeking the best for the other person. For that's how Jesus speaks about us as he prays to our Father in heaven. One last verse. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Speak kindly with one another, as Jesus would speak kindly about us too. Let's pray for a moment, shall we? Dear Jesus, thank you for making it possible for us to have peace with God and be peacemakers with others. Help us to show love, kindness, and peace toward everyone we meet this week and beyond. Amen.